in the night. Your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, the last Freaky Friday of March. The month is over already. It was just the Ides a minute ago.
It was, and now it's the end. How time flies.
And it's flying so much that we're fixing to be out of town for a little bit each month, starting in May, going on our tour.
We're going to be flying all over the place. Mm-hmm. We got St. Louis, Chicago, Milwaukee, Charlotte, Raleigh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Toronto, Kansas City, Oklahoma City, San Diego, Phoenix, Las Vegas, and rounding it out in our hometown of Dallas.
Did y'all know that the Dallas show is on the full moon of October?
I heard.
And it's the Super Hunter moon. Ooh. And it's the largest super moon of the year. So we knew it was a full moon, but I was like, this is a full ass moon for us to close out
that
tour.
We're changing the name of the tour. It's Full Ass Moon Energy Tour.
We might have to change the topic because on the Full Moon Energy Tour, we talk about what the moon does to us. So God help us all being together on a super moon.
Super moon. I think that's how we ascend as a group to the next realm.
We chant together what lurks up there and what happened really on the Apollo mission. So we get into all of the stuff, kind of like the type of stuff we talk about on the show, but it's all centered around the moon and it's stuff we're not talking about on the air. So you got to be there in person to see it.
Tickets are on sale now for the general public. So go to sinisterhood.com/live shows. And there's links to all of the different venues. So hopefully we're coming to a city near you or maybe your city. Some people are flying over here from the UK.
It's amazing. That's blows my mind. If that happens, tell me. I want to make sure that you get to like touch the corn skull or like hug McGruff. Like that's such an incredible
touch
journey.
The corn skull. Yes.
And what
did
you
do over across the pond? I touched a corn skull at these two weird ladies show.
And speaking of weird ladies show, if you're watching on, we're gonna have to put this clip up on social media. Well, there will be a clip. We've been putting clips of Freaky Friday on YouTube, one story a week. But we'll
but
make
now
sure
we have
to put
a new member.
Our third.
He's our third, Sir Garthur Brooks.
We talked about him on Freaky Friday, so it's only it only makes sense to leave him up at least while we record Freaky Friday. If we record like a serious main feed episode, I'm not gonna.
We may have to clear out the background. We may have to move the popple. The moon that looks like it's ready to take a load, and Sir Garthur Brooks, they may all have to come down from behind you next time we cover, you know, something a little heavier.
A little something serious. I will be respectful, but as we are covering these today, we've got quite a lineup, including my dream has come true. We've got not one, but two Bigfoot stories, y'all.
There's two. And it's happening.
I'm not saying it's because Sir Garthur was delivered. Sir Garthur Brooks, we decided, is his name. I'm not saying it's because of that, but I'm just saying that after he was delivered, bam, two Bigfoot stories.
Seems like he is a harbinger of good.
He's a guardian angel. That's what he is. A gargoylian angel.
Everybody thought he looks like a gargoyle. Well, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And
monsters.
Also, he doesn't conform to your normie beauty standards. Thank you very much. He is an angel. He has wings and horns, just like a traditional angel. Those horned angels.
Just let him be, y'all. Let him be. And he is fucking ripped.
He is beefy. He never skips leg, arm, wing day.
Or toe day. His toes are
toe
whack.
Day's big too. Yeah. He's got some long old toes. And
talent.
Like the third toe is significantly longer than all the other toes.
Yeah. We need to do I did an unboxing video. I haven't posted it yet. So I'll do that. And we can do like a features video and we'll get you real close in on the details. Like his feet.
Yeah.
Features.
Yeah.
It's a real niche market for gargoyle feet, but we're going to find it.
Well, this is how we start our OnlyFans, so yeah, look for us over on there. We're probably not the only person doing gargoyle stuff. But it's probably a niche corner of the internet, but I don't think we're the first.
It exists. You know it exists.
Oh, for sure. We're not the first ones to think of it. No,
but we're the best ones.
I do agree with that. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And that's Sir Garther Brooks. And let's get freaky. Speaking of freaky, this first one is from Madison, and it is called My Dad Worked for John Wayne Gacy. Hey, Christy and Heather. My name is Madison, and I'm a lover of all things crime, spooky, paranormal, and sinister. Your podcast has gotten me through many night shifts as a travel nurse, and I am so grateful for all the work you two put into this podcast for everyone. Do you guys have one of those friends who weird things always seem to happen to? Well, it's me. I could tell you about the time I accidentally ended up in a cult and then proceeded to get banned, my stalker from freshman year of college that my loyal friends bullied in retaliation, or the fact that I am literally allergic to the cold and break out in hives. Yes, the Midwest is the worst place for me to live. But for today, I am going to tell you a story about a secret my dad kept from me. Back in January of 2024, I went on a trip for my 26th birthday with my friends to Vegas. Of course, as a lover of all things creepy, my only wish was to visit the Zach Bagans Haunted Museum. I ended up doing the VIP tour, which I highly suggest. Anyway, my dad was kind enough to pick me up from the airport after I got back. My dad, knowing I was visiting the museum, asked how it was. I began going into my long, ADHD, wildly obsessed explanation, room by room, of how it was, including my favorite part being the serial killer room. I was telling my dad about all the artifacts there when I mentioned there was a case that included John Wayne Gacy things and that he was from Iowa. My dad replied with, "Yeah, I know. I worked for him when I was young, remember?" My mouth dropped open. "No, you fucking didn't." "Yeah, Madison," he said. "You know I worked for KFC in high school in my early 20s. "Holy fucking shit. Oh my God." I kept going on with creative cuss words strung together. At first, calling my father a goddamn liar, and then realizing he was telling the truth and that I just never put two and two together. I knew my dad worked for KFC. He had mentioned it a few times when we had driven by them in town. He mentioned he hated smelling like greasy chicken all the time. He had not explicitly mentioned freaking John Wayne Gacy. I had known John Wayne Gacy and his first wife Carol had moved to Waterloo, Iowa to take over the three KFC franchises. I just never put the two together with the dates. As many have said about John Wayne Gacy, my dad said he was a popular guy who threw lots of block parties. My dad did mention toward the end of the divorce with Carol, he really didn't see much of Gacy at KFC anymore. Flash forward to 1978, when John Wayne Gacy was caught. My dad said the FBI showed up at KFC one day and tore up all the parking lots. Apparently, they had been redone while Gacy was managing there, and there were high concerns from the FBI that there would be more bodies found in the KFC parking lots. There weren't any, but my dad said it was wild to see them at his place of work. I can't believe my dad never mentioned that to me one night at dinner over the years. Or maybe I can. Maybe telling your daughter you worked for a serial killer isn't something you share until she is in her late 20s. But if I had met John Wayne Gacy, you can bet I would tell everyone within 5 seconds of meeting them. My dad is starting his second round of chemo for lung cancer soon. But if the cruel mastermind John Wayne Gacy didn't get my dad, there's no way he's letting cancer beat him.
First of all, we're going to wish healing vibes and well wishes to your dad. Absolutely. With his chemo. But yeah, what a story to go, "I told you that, right?" Just sort of drop it in casual conversation. Yeah,
casually mention that. It's also so wild and eerie to look back and think, was there weird stuff going on that maybe I just kind of brushed under the rug or overlooked? Or, I mean, everyone does say he was kind of the life of the party, which is probably one reason he became a clown, to get access to all those kids. But
more parties, yeah.
He was, you know, always throwing parties and whatnot. So, like, a big, gregarious guy who's just managing KFC. I didn't know the KFC part, so that's wild. And who's to say that things weren't going on when Madison's dad was working there?
I think it's reasonable that the FBI came and tore up the parking lots, yeah, because if that's getting repaved while they know he had a predilection for burying bodies, but that's got to be such an eerie feeling to look out the, you know, your store window while you're at work and watch law enforcement digging it up, not knowing that they're not going to find anything, going, oh my God, could the owner have actually done that? The guy that threw all the parties? It's those always get me in cases like this, just sort of like their everyday life, like their kind of banal actions that they're, you know, he's just managing a KFC, he's throwing a block party. You have no idea, like, the capacity for evil that lies within.
No, it's truly horrifying. And then when you extrapolate that out to everybody, you know, I mean, who do we ever really know?
Who do we know? After your outburst on the Q&A last night of how your preferred method of killing.
I feel like I was backed into a corner. I said, I don't want to have to attack anybody in a cage match. But truly, if I did, I don't want to go fist to fist. I would just use poison.
But you know what? You said no mess, no fuss. And I think you were right. But yeah, I didn't mean to put you on blast about your preferred methods. It's fair, completely fair. But
I just don't want to get my hands dirty.
Truly. But yeah, all that to say, Madison, your dad, that he truly encountered evil in incarnate. That's an eerie thing to have. You just kind of like a story about you that you don't really think about too much, but that might be a mechanism of the 70s. And like, we don't need to, you know, let's not think about these things. Just sort
it's
of
like the other Freaky Friday we had where the girl's dad had gotten into it with BTK over their dog.
Oh, Dennis. Yeah, that's true. Just their everyday average lives. It's very eerie.
It is that creepiness. You're right, though, of like, they're just normal people. Like, we all assume these type of people will be so easy to spot, but the reason they get away with it for so long is that they just blend into society like normal everyday people.
Just like, we just moved to town to take over these KFCs, and you have no idea what just moved, truly what moved to town. So, well, thank you, Madison.
Yes, and good. I'm glad that you enjoyed the Haunted Museum so much. We're going to be in Vegas.
We got to go, for sure.
So I think we're going to have to go. And also, there was something else in Vegas we were going to do.
Chippendales.
That's it. Yeah. I was thinking Meow Wolf, but also,
yeah,
Chippendales. But Meow I thought Wolf, there was another paranormal or like haunted site we were going to see in Vegas. But
we'll think of it. Oh, the bunker.
That's what it was. Yes.
Party bunker.
The bunker. Yeah. Ooh, maybe we can get a tour of the park. If you or someone you know knows about that $15 million party bunker in L.A.
Or in Vegas.
Or not in L.A., in Vegas. Let us know, because I'm trying to get in that little cantina pool area under the ground.
I want to play putt-putt. Sinisterhood will be right back.
You know, after you got kids, your hair just changes. It's just not the same anymore. I've gone through it. All my friends that have had kids have gone through it. It gets thinner. There's like spots. You don't understand like why you're getting new growth in like you're a kid again. But it's just part of your hormones and part of going through that. But there is help out there. Don't worry. You just need Nutrafol.
For sure. I don't have kids, so I've never heard that, but I do go through shedding for hormonal reasons and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But that's where Nutrafol comes in. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding.
Nutrafol supports healthy hair growth from within by targeting root causes of thinning, like stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, lifestyle, metabolism. They target all of this through whole body health.
Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code CREEPY.
Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code CREEPY.
That's Nutrafol.com, promo code CREEPY.
Well, this next one is from Steph, and it ties in nicely to the past 2 weeks' episodes. This is, my friend was almost on flight MH370. Hi, ladies. Firstly, I want to say how much I love your podcast. I started listening in the heart of 2020, working from home and having gone through my library of shows and movies while working. You ladies are lifesavers. Let me start this off by saying I'm not one who easily gets anxious about a story you're covering. I love my true crime and scary stories, but as I started listening to your newest story on the disappearance of Flight MH370 Part 1, I felt a knot in my stomach. I told my husband what you ladies were covering this week, and his response was, you know that was the flight Joe was supposed to be on. Our friend Joe did a lot of backpacking through countries after high school. I mean, he's in his 30s now and usually goes on at least one trip of this nature a year, but he did longer stretches when we were younger. In 2014, he was doing a backpacking stint with his then-girlfriend and two other friends through the Asian countries. He was gone for a few months at the very least. Well, partway through their trip, he got extremely ill. He ended up going to the hospital, and after spending hours there, the doctors told him he needed to go back to America because if he didn't, he'd most likely die there. He said it was a blur because he was so sick. He just knew he needed to get home. Well, because he was in a different country and wasn't sure how fast he could get to the airport, he booked the latest flight, MH370. When he arrived at the airport, he looked to see if any planes departed for his destination before the one he booked. Luckily for him, there was. Only by an hour or so, but this flight got him home faster. He debated on just keeping his original flight because the difference in which he'd end up getting back to the States was such a small amount of time that it almost wasn't worth it. But it was. At the last minute, he switched his ticket to the new flight and came home. Joe learned of the missing flight a few days later. He doesn't talk about it much, maybe because if he dwelled on it, it may prevent him from living his life. Like I said, he still backpacks through countries. I believe the last one was in 2022. So obviously this experience didn't stop him. But listening to you guys detail the events and what could have happened made me think, what if he was on that plane? This is what he may have experienced. It gives me chills just thinking about it. Love all that you guys do and love that you provide outlets for crazy, weird stories. I don't get to stay up to date with your pod as much now that I have a daughter, but I still make time for my lovely Sinisterhood girls, Steph.
What a moment. Sliding in time.
Door moment, as you, we say.
You'll never forget, like, holding that ticket in your hand going, it says MH370 and then going, you know, they did say I'm pretty sick. An hour might make a difference. And going up to the counter and trading it out.
Dude. Man. And like, just like the other ones that missed their flight.
Mm-hmm.
Some were on stolen passports, you know, and if they hadn't been able to get those, they might not have gotten on the flight. There's so many just, we're always kind of walking this line of it could go one way or the other. And this would be a hard one, I think, for me to talk about, too, if I was Joe. That is your mind goes to dark places thinking about what if, because it is such a small amount of time.
Yeah.
And it is a hassle to change a ticket that it very well likely you're like, whatever, it's not worth it. I'm just going to chill for an hour until my flight.
Right. And you just couldn't imagine what a decision that you just made. Man, I'm glad it didn't stop him. I'm glad he's still backpacking and still getting out there. But like you said, that would be something that I think it would take a long time to talk about, especially because as time has, it's not like it had a resolution right afterwards and you could kind of reconcile it. It's still an open case. And also the more and more information that comes out about what perhaps the passengers might have experienced, I imagine, like you said, your mind would go to very dark places. So good on you, Steph, and your husband for giving him, you know, space and, you know, knowing that, but not forcing him to talk about it and encouraging him in his travels. Like I said, I'm glad he's still getting out there.
Well, speaking of MH370, we have another one. This one is from Alex, and it is called My Husband's Search for MH370. Hello, lovely ladies. I hope you both had a wonderful week. Thank you so much for all you do and the amazing community you have created. Christy, spring is coming in Indiana, and our 11 acres are ready for you to come mow with the John Deere. I might take you up on that, Alex. Now on to the Freaky Friday story. I am writing in with something I thought you may find interesting after the last 2 weeks' episodes. My husband, Tony, retired last August after 21 years in the Navy. He has been on 9 deployments and has seen some stuff. But what may be of interest is that he was involved in the search efforts for MH370. When MH370 went missing, he was the anti-terrorism officer on the USS Kidd. The ship and her crew were patrolling the East China Sea. However, once the plane was officially missing, they were sent first to the waters near Thailand to look, and very soon after, through the Straits of Malacca into the Indian Ocean. They had extra lookouts stationed on the ship, and their helicopters were constantly in the air, only coming down to refuel and switch out crew. He talks about how at the beginning, they were all full of hope and energy, out there looking for survivors. But after a few days, a helio was sent to the ship with 250 body bags for if and when they found the plane. Tony talks about how the long hours of the search and rescue had drained them physically, but the shift to search and recovery completely drained them mentally. They found all sorts of things floating, suitcases, life vests, oil slicks, etc. And each time their hopes were raised again, but it was always just random ocean trash from some non-associated vessel. After a few weeks, they were sent back to the East China Sea. On their way back, they were turned around by request of the Malaysian government and the U.S. State Department to head back towards Malaysia. They pulled into Port Klang and were sent on to visit Kuala Lumpur. Tony talks about how it was one of the warmest welcomes they had received. For what it's worth, he also thinks it was pilot suicide and mass murder, and similarly thinks the conspiracy theories do nothing but further hurt the victims. I hope you found this interesting. Have the best weekend, Alex.
Well, thank you,
Alex. I did
find
that very interesting.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing that. And thank you so much, Alex's husband, for such a storied career in the Navy.
Yeah, thanks for your service. Tony, as the anti-terrorism officer, and you're in a position of an officer, and they call you in of this plane has gone down, and not knowing possibly at the time what was the cause. I think now we've kind of worked out what it was, but it could have been some, because just a few months later, Russia took that plane down. Mm-hmm. So, it's you're on high alert, like you said, hoping you're going to find them and save them. Mm-hmm. And then that crushing blow of, hey, here's the body bags. It's too late, no matter what you're
250
doing.
Of them. Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's those things that I would never even think of that detail. Mm-hmm. But that's a really visual detail to hold on to. And I think I forget what first responders and people in the military that have to go out on these search and recovery missions go through and feel and see, mm-hmm. but it's a lot that you carry with you. And there's some high moments, but certainly this is a very low one. And just being out there, that's a experience few have. And I sincerely appreciate those that are willing to put themselves in the position to do stuff like that. It takes a special kind of person.
Most definitely. Yeah. Thank you very much. And you're right that the kind of physical ephemera of there were 250 souls involved here. We're not just out at that time. We're not just out looking for plane pieces or looking for that really does bring it home for those right there on the front lines. And that is got to be, I think being mentally draining is probably an understatement. It's gut wrenching to know that's what you're out looking for. So thank you, Tony. And man, and it was interesting, Alex. It was.
And 11 acres to end it on a more cheerful note. 11 acres with that John Deere sounds pretty satisfying.
We gotta make it through. We'll see. We gotta plot out. I don't know on our tour what part of Indiana y'all live in, Alex, but let us know. We'll see if we can plot it out on one of our drives.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna need an extra day of travel. And why is that? I have some lawn mowing to do.
I've been offered an opportunity, and they're like, a business opportunity? You're like, Yeah, yeah, we can. It can be kind for of, the show. Yeah. We'll film it. It's fine. Yeah, sure. Technically,
I'm sure I'll talk about it. Yeah, everyone will want to hear about it. I can wear a GoPro.
Fuck yeah!
Oh, I got, man, I could wear a GoPro and then go live. People love shit like that on TikTok because it's so satisfying to see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just mowing it down. I got one of those. I got influenced on TikTok and got one of those necklaces that you wear that it's like metal and it hooks to your phone. So when we do our paranormal hunt next month, maybe I'll go, we'll pick a time and go live on TikTok for like 30 minutes or an hour or something while we're on our paranormal hunt. So you have to follow us on TikTok to watch that. But I got that. So it's like a POV. So you could like see what we're seeing as we're going through the investigation. But we can also use it for the tractor ride.
Yeah, win-win. Yeah, tractor ride and Trans-Allegheny. That'll be the name of my memoir.
And that's why it's a business deduction. We're using it for the show.
Exactly.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Well, this next one is from Bernie, and the subject line she wrote in is, "My mom, the ladybug." Hello, friends. I'm a newer listener and a first-time story submitter. My mom and I had an awesome bond. She's been gone 10 years now, and I miss her every day, which I'm pretty sure she knows. One of my mom's signs is a ladybug. It was her favorite, and she actually had a red VW bug for a time that we would say we were going to put spots on. On the day of Ma's wake, we were sitting in the living room waiting to go, and all of a sudden my dad, who was in the kitchen getting his things together, says, "Bernie, come here." Sitting on his wallet was a ladybug. "Hi, Ma," I said. 2 years later, my gram, her mom, was in hospice. This was February, Valentine's Day to be exact, in Boston. I was sitting with my aunt, and the nurse said it was going to be very soon. Auntie and I were holding hands, watching over my gram when she took her last breath. All of a sudden, there's a ladybug on Gram's blanket. In February, inside a hospital. I feel like it was my ma telling me she was taking over and it would be okay. Fast forward to 2 years ago. My other aunt, Dad's side, was having a medium come to her house to spend some time. My aunt didn't need to give any type of info to this medium about who was coming. But for clarification, I live in upstate New York, and this was taking place back in my hometown in Massachusetts, so the medium wouldn't have known I was coming. So I came down that morning. I went to the cemetery to say hi to Ma first and filled her in about things. Later, as the medium began to explain to our group how the evening was going to go, she suddenly stopped, looked right at me, out of 10 of us in the room, and said, "Wait, did your mother die from sepsis?" "Yes." I had a complete meltdown. The medium said, "Your mother said you've been bothering her all day. She also said, I hear you all the time, especially when you talk to my picture. I like how you tell me about Hazelnut," my ma called my daughter her little Hazelnut, "and all the crazy things she tells you. I also was my mother-in-law's caretaker, and she had died about 2 months before this visit. I asked the medium if she could see or sense her. The medium said there was another woman with Mom, and she was holding out an orange. When my mother-in-law was near the end, we were buying Sumo citrus a lot because she was having a hard time eating, but she liked the liquid sunshine. It's hard to be without your mom, and then your other mother too, but I see them as my kiddos' guardians, and I just wanted to give a shout out to them both. Thanks for this platform for your listeners. I can't tell you how many times I've been weepy at my desk from all the positive stories I'm hearing from other listeners who tell their stories. Unfortunately, my mom was gone before these type of podcasts were a thing, but she loved true crime and all things creepy. I know she might not be here to listen, but I'm sure she is. Much love to you and all those listening. Bernie."
So I told you when I was pulling these that I had my own little connection to one of these stories.
Yes, you did. I didn't know which one.
Well, I was working outside the other day pulling stories, and I think I was live messaging you and Tommy about all the cardinals and stuff I was seeing. I've been seeing a cardinal in multiple places. Mm-hmm. And to the point where I was like, I wonder what cardinals signify. And I looked it up, and a lot of cultures and people believe that they can be loved ones visiting you in times of need or in times of like happiness. But I also always kind of associate my dad with Cardinals because the St. Louis Cardinals was one of his favorite baseball team. So I was like, oh, that's very nice. Maybe he's coming around to visit. And then I started thinking, usually the sign that I always see when people pass is ladybugs.
Oh, really?
Since I was little, when someone, like after someone dies, I will see ladybugs in it, much like Bernie, in very strange places. Like after my grandfather died when I was in, I guess, early stages of college, I was like at home at my parents in the bathroom, and across the bathroom mirror was a ladybug crawling. Like, well, places you wouldn't normally see a ladybug.
It's not like I was out in the forest and it crawled in my pants.
Like
and
this, you're like, okay. Shows up on a blanket. But I was thinking like, oh, it's normally ladybugs. And then I opened my laptop to start pulling stories. And the very first one that I saw when I opened it was my mom, the ladybug. And I thought, we're all just connected. All
connected.
It's all these strings. We're all just pearls and this big whole thing. And, you know, so that was another little weird sign, I think, for both of us, Bernie.
Yeah, I love that, Bernie. Thanks for sharing this with us. This resonates with me because my grandma always said, she was like, I'll be a butterfly. And I've told stories on the air before about butterflies appearing in places. And I went on a run today for the first time in a while, and a yellow butterfly like ran with me for a minute right at the beginning when I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep running. And I like turned a corner. That was kind of the decision point of like, I might start to walk. And then I did, and I kept running. So stuff like that, I'm always like, could it be that I attract butterflies because like my hair smells good or something? Or is it the spirit of my grandmother spurring me on? I feel like the second one. Yeah, either way. But for me, it helped me to keep running. So who's it hurting for me to believe it? But
exactly.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Bernie, for sharing that with us.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. All right.
Well, here they are.
Brace yourselves. Thank you, Sir Garthur, for your blessings upon the pod that we have now been blessed with two fucking Bigfoot stories that, no spoilers, but might tie into next week's episode. Well, this first one is from Dana, and the subject line she wrote in is My Brother-in-Law's Sasquatch Story. These sightings take place in the forest a couple hours east of Vancouver. One of the towns in this area, Harrison Hot Springs, has lots of Sasquatch tourism. Think the Weird Museum in Harry and the Hendersons. When my brother-in-law was a little kid, he went to scout camp. One night, as he was falling asleep, he looked out the window of his cabin and saw a dark, shadowy figure standing up on two legs. It was bigger and taller than a human, and it lumbered off into the forest. He woke his best friend up and told him to look out the window because he just saw a real-life Sasquatch. Of course, his friend looked and there was no longer anything there. For the rest of their childhoods, the friend would mock him, but my brother-in-law stood strong and knew what he saw. Later, when they were young adults, they took their ATVs up in the forest to the same area to rip around. His friend went tearing up ahead of him. Minutes later, the friend was turned back around, driving down the hill as fast as he could, white as a sheet, screaming, "We gotta get the fuck out of here!" When they got back to their trucks, the friend turned to my brother-in-law and said, "You were right. I saw a Sasquatch. It was huge and knocked down a tree, warning me to get out of here." I now have known my brother-in-law for 20 years, and while he is a jokester about some of the things, he stands by these stories, making his kids all watch every Sasquatch/Bigfoot documentary out there. I work in the museum field, and one summer had a contract at a living museum near that area. I was talking with the First Nations coworker, whose people lived in that area since time immemorial, about this story, and she said when they are out in the forest, they leave extra fish out at night as an offering to the creatures of the forest.
Well, that sounds like a good idea to me. You learn to coexist.
Make friends.
Respect those that came before you.
I love this redemption story.
Yeah. He was like, one day you'll see. One day
you'll
see.
He's like, I don't wish it on you, but I do, because you need to believe, man. I saw what I saw. You know how lonely I felt as a child? My own best friend told me I was full of shit. You know how that was like? That's why the Sasquatch came for you. If you'd have believed me, he wouldn't have had to show you. You would have just known in your heart their country, even though they live in Vancouver. Yeah. Only that's just because people that see Bigfoot talk like that.
I like that he knocked down a tree to warn you to get out of there.
They'll tear him out of the ground.
It sounds like, I mean, to knock down a tree is a huge feat, but he just like looked him dead in the eye and just shoved a tree over.
The Bigfoots can't be trusted. They'll just go wild. The Sasquatches, they rip the trees up. Well, I love this story. This is a dream come true, truly, Dana. I've been waiting for 103 Freaky Fridays.
We need to know if, sometimes the Sasquatch stories, they seem like they want to be friends. Mm-hmm. And then other times they're like, leave me the fuck alone, which is fair because I have those moods too. And delicate I'm one balance. Person. So, you know, if there's a whole, what do we call a bunch of Sasquatch?
Oh, a batch of Satch? Batch of Sasquatch?
A batch of okay, a batch.
We a batch. Batch.
They, you know, I mean, who am I? Of course, they have different personalities. So, unfortunately, Dana, your brother-in-law and his friend saw one that maybe didn't want to be messed with. But mm-hmm. other people have seen them and thought, maybe they're not so bad. So,
you just put your finger out like E.T., just like make contact.
It's going to take a special person to make contact. And I think they're sitting right behind you.
Yeah, it's going to be Sir Arthur. We'll take our gargoyle into the woods to make an offering. I mean, truly, I think that we will talk a lot about it in this upcoming episode. No, it's not about Bigfoot, but it's about something. If you're in the getting into it tier on Patreon, you know, because you voted on it. But I love whenever folks who are from the region, who are of groups that are the lineage that have lived there before settlers, colonizers, and explain, like, oftentimes these beasts will get pissed off because they are supposedly guardians of the area or something like that. So it's like, if you're tearing around, the words ripping up and tearing around on an ATV,
right?
If they're kind of a guardian of this realm, they're probably going to rip a tree out and tell you to get the fuck out of there because like, they don't want you tearing up the soil. So let that be a lesson.
You're like, I'm trying to just relax in the peaceful, wide open mm-hmm. space here and not hear and smell all this gasoline.
He's like, you're fucking up my vibe. Rip out the tree. Again, like you said, very relatable. I have had that attitude too.
How am I supposed to play my saxophone out here in the wilderness for my TikTok account if I got your racket in the background?
He's like fixing to record the TikTok and is like, hold for ATVs. Cut.
And you just hear the tree crashing. He's like, I'll do it again. Get out of here.
Hold for ATVs. Well, thank you very much, Dana, for this. This is excellent. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. And it ties right into our next story, which is from Paige. And the subject line is Alaskan Bigfoot Encounter.
Uh-oh. Hi.
It's happening. Hi, ladies. First off, love you and love the show. I spent countless hours listening and you got me through some very dark days early in the pandemic when I was a new stay-at-home mom with a new baby with special needs. Oof, weird, tough times. Thank you for all you've done and continue to do. I've been meaning to write in because so many stories on Freaky Friday resonate with me, but I'll start with this one. I know you've been asking for a Bigfoot encounter story for ages. I'm not sure if this qualifies, but you be the judges. To set the scene, I grew up in a small community about 30 minutes outside of Anchorage, Alaska. My parents still live in the same home, and their property backs up to a state park, so there are literally hundreds of square miles of uninhabited forest just outside their back door. A dream, right? My parents' house is small, so to help accommodate guests, they turned a 10x10 shed into an extra bedroom. We call it the cabin. It has power and heat, but no running water or bathroom. Important to the story. The cabin is about 50 feet from the back door of the house, so just running inside to use the bathroom isn't super convenient unless you need to go number two. My mom has graciously put a little camp potty, aka a bucket with a toilet seat, right out there so my sister and I can use it at night when we stay there. Though, if our partners are with us, they usually just step outside to pee. My now husband and I were newly engaged, and we were there visiting my family in the summer of 2016. He's from Florida, and we live in Colorado. I think it must have been one of his first visits there, and definitely his first summertime visit. The almost around-the-clock daylight was really messing with him, and we were both having trouble sleeping, especially because my parents don't believe in window coverings. Like, at all. They say that they live in the woods with no visible neighbors, so there's no need for the extra privacy, right? My dad says that if you need it to be dark when you sleep, just close your eyes. Thanks, Dad. So, at about 2 a.m., we were lying in the small double bed in the cabin with zero window coverings, both tossing and turning. It should also be noted that due to permafrost, buildings in Alaska sometimes shift, and because of that, the cabin's door doesn't exactly latch and lock closed easily or securely. Because it was summer, it wasn't totally dark out, but more of a twilight-level lightness, which can play tricks on your eyes, especially in the woods. My Florida born-and-raised tough guy, at the time he was an active MMA fighter, police officer, and SWAT team member, but I promise he's not one of the douchey ones, got up to go outside to pee. As I laid there, he came bursting back through the door and it slammed shut behind him. Then he immediately barricaded the door with the love seat. What the actual fuck? He started stammering that he heard a roar and that something is out there. I told him it's probably just a bear since we have some large grizzlies that live in the valley, but he was adamant that it wasn't. He told me that while he was standing out there, bearing it all to nature, he heard the most guttural deep roar that pierced him to his core, and as his words made him shrink up inside myself and stop peeing. He said he felt it in his bones, like it had an infrasonic tone to it. He claims that the sound and the way it made him feel harkened back to our primal past when humans were part of the food chain. He spent the next few minutes moving from window to window, looking out to see if he could spot anything. He never did, and we eventually fell asleep. Now, my dad has been known to sneak around in the woods and scare me and my friends by growling and snorting and shaking trees. But I'm hard-pressed to think my dad was just hanging out in the woods at 2 a.m. hoping to scare my brand-new fiancé on the off chance that he came outside to pee. Was it a Sasquatch he heard, or just my dad hazing a new family member? You decide. I hope I painted a picture that made you laugh, because every time I think of my big, tough husband panicking and barricading our door, I have to giggle. So glad I got to see you in Denver for your tour last year, and I hope to see you again soon. Maybe one of these days I'll write in about some of my stories from my 11 years as a sheriff's deputy and SWAT team sniper. They're not as lighthearted as this one, though. P.S. I totally saw you guys at the Brown Palace for the Champagne Cascade in 2022, but I wasn't a Patreon member at the time and didn't know you'd be there. By the time I realized it was you, you had moved on. That sweet, scared, tough husband of mine has gifted me my Patreon membership for Christmas for the last 2 years. Best gift ever. Thank you, Paige.
Okay.
Obsessed okay. with this.
There's so much I love about this because... best case scenario, a Bigfoot was out there and made such contact with this man that he felt his primal instincts kick in.
Yes,
worst case shrunk. Scenario, which is still very funny and great, is that Paige's dad at 2 a.m. like, is out by
I'm gonna get him.
Shed.
I'm gonna get him. He's got to come out sometime. He ain't been out to pee yet.
No, they're just waiting from 50 feet is a long way. That's too far for me to run in the dark out in the Alaskan wilderness. I'll take my chances because not all of us would just be like, it's probably just a bear and be okay with it.
Yeah, not all of us are from Alaska. It's like, yeah, although the Floridian boyfriend, I would imagine you'd be used to, you talk about living in Florida and that there was, alligators and iguanas and frogs falling from the sky.
They had big ass frogs. But I saw gators quite a bit, but I never had one close enough to me to where I felt like something was unlocked within me from my primordial days.
I was reduced back to caveman.
Jesus. Yeah. But I love that your dad is like, I'm going to stay out there and scare her and her friends, because that's some hardcore parenting that I'm here for.
Yeah, you got to
take advantage of the wilderness. If you've seen some shit. If you got 100 miles of uninhabited Alaskan wilderness behind your house.
You absolutely
with no window coverings.
That's what I'm saying. Here's the thing, Mom and Dad. Yikes. Love you, respect you. I respect your way of life. But what I'm going to say is, yes, certainly, you don't have to worry about somebody looking in and seeing your Ghibli bits. You're worried about a axe murderer standing on the outside waiting, and you can't see him if you don't have, like, you, they can see you. They're watching you where you're at in the house. You need to get the jump on them, and that's why you need window shades. That's just my play it for them or don't. It's your mom and dad's choice, but at least in the cabin, because the door doesn't close all the way. You need to know if you're be ready to fight.
Between axe murderers, grizzly bears, Sasquatch, and just the sun being out all the time, I'm going to need some curtains.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to be peeped on by a Sasquatch, but it sounds like...
but what was it, though?
I think the infrasonic tone to the yell makes me think it was a Sasquatch. I think they're all connected. I got a theory. I'm saving it for the other episode. But there's something to that tone, I think. But the that feeling
like the
that
brown
you get,
noise?
Yeah, like you feel it through. It makes you shit your pants. Is that what the brown noise is?
Yeah, I think
you,
so.
You play
that's
it on the
South
flute.
Park said it was.
Yeah, it's real. Or that the fish, the hum tone that is either fish fucking or perhaps trumpets in the sky. It's
fish
all connected.
Fucking.
Wasn't that in the Sky Trumpets episode? There was all those fish that were mating and it made this like weird hum sound or it was like their mating call that like made it. I feel like
I don't remember that theory, but I believe you.
Maybe I made it up. But anyway.
No, but it's probably I just don't remember. But
I love the visual.
I don't think it was your dad. So it's either Sasquatch or a grizzly bear. Either way, terrifying.
Very much. Yeah, that 100 miles of uninhabited forest land. Beautiful, but at night, I'm sure chilling. Although, I guess in the summertime, you're like, I can see back there for like half the year. It's fine.
But that twilight, to me, is one of the scariest colors of the day. Like, that's one reason that the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre has always freaked me out so bad is because it's all happening in the day. But then when she escapes, it's kind of like... it's daylight, but it's kind of like getting to where the sun's about to set. And it always freaked me out that this could be going on in the daytime.
That's true.
Like midsummer. It's the beautiful sunshine and all this horrible stuff's going on. And it just makes it even creepier.
Yeah, it's a freaky juxtaposition. The like, we think the horrible things happen in the shadows, but to have it in broad daylight. And your eyes, I feel like, can really adjust to either like... I mean, not like blinding sun, but like, you know, daytime, regular time, or even in the darkness, your eyes eventually sort of settle. But I always feel like I'm always squinting. I mean, I don't wear my glasses as much as I should, so I am always squinting. But particularly at twilight, you know, it's like I almost, like she said, it plays tricks on your eyes like shadows. But even at 2 a.m. twilight, you know if your pee-pee shrinks up in you that some serious shit happened in the woods. So my condolences,
well,
sir.
At least if something had come upon you, you could use your MMA skills to maybe take it down. But I don't know. I think if it's willing to like growl, just a warning growl, it's not there to be messed with.
No.
I feel like you're in its territory. So
yeah, it's like, stop pissing out
right
here.
Call. You got to barricade the door with a love seat. And unfortunately, you can't close the curtains. That's the other thing. So you run inside, you're safe, but you're like, what are we? We got to hide under a bed to get away. And because then it's just like you just see it come around the side and staring through the curtain, the window, and you've got nothing. Just block it out.
Yeah. And then it knows where you are in the cabin. It's going to bust through that door. Well, I'm glad it didn't. I'm glad you all, I made a horror movie in my head on your behalf, and I'm glad that it didn't really happen in real life, but may you hear the call of the Squatch the next time you're up there visiting your folks.
May you, and may you offer it some fish, perhaps, to appease it, and or you got to go to Toscano.com and get yourself a gargoyle. There's different. Apparently, there's a couple different kinds, right?
I think so. I think there's some other poses, but this room's getting full. Just say it's getting full.
No,
I got
you
a full
get
size
all of them.
Lucifer head. I got a McGruff right here. I'm getting it's full back here.
There's a lot happening.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
But we love you for it.
Thank
well,
you.
And we love all of you for sending in these stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/freakyfriday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next. We also, once a month, share an archived bonus content for the free members. Or you can join and dive into over 800 hours of bonus content. We have a True Crime Headlines coming up this week. With some recent true crime headlines, aptly named.
And there's so many headlines coming. I keep having to like swap stuff out. So it's just like the hottest headlines ready for you. And we also have a mini-sode coming up for you. And we just recently did our March live stream, which you can watch that on demand. I think the reviews were unhinged, off the wall, a zany time. So please check out the archive
amount of
version.
Times today I have thought about that song that you take a dump but then I get high, and if you want to know the context of that, you're gonna have to go watch it, but I promise you it is worth it. And you can even join for free for a week and watch it and to see what we're talking about. And then if you don't want to continue on your journey, just cancel before the week's up and you don't get charged. Or you can join one of the tiers and keep the fun going, because those Q&A's, that was about par for the course. That's usually how, and I mean, that wasn't even especially fun time, but they're always like that.
And in April is going to be our 420 stream on 420. So possibly it's been requested.
We're
figuring out the schedule, but join before the end of April. So that way we can, you can be part of that with us, because it's so much fun in the chat. Shout out to the Q&A chat crew that always comes through with the funny ass questions and the funny ass reactions. Y'all are what makes it. Thank you.
They're so much so that I believe buttons are being made that say chat crew. So at the live shows, y'all can find each other and know, like, because, you know, we all use different screen names and stuff. But I love that, like, a call is being put out so everyone can identify each other and be friends.
Hell yeah. Chat crew checking in. And also, the live shows are a great place to meet new people. We have so many folks that are like, I got randomly seated at this table, and it turns out we're into the same stuff. So if you don't have a plus one, just come on down by yourself, and maybe you'll be part of the chat crew next time.
You will be. Yes.
We'll also head to sinisterhood.com and click shop in the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, including our new Believe and Be Kind Flatwoods monster design done by our junior researcher, Ella. We also have mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos, including that Flatwoods monster in kids, toddlers, and babies. And don't forget to shop our merch clearance sale, but act fast because we are almost out. The supplies are very low. We have a couple of the Texas Theater shows tees left, as well as our cover art shirt and our 2023 Full Moon Energy shirt. You can just get that and wear it if you want. You look like a veteran to the show. Nobody's like, what a cool vintage shirt. You're like, yeah, actually it's just on clearance, and I'm a Patreon member, so I had a coupon because you always get 10 to 20% off as a Patreon member, and you can stack that on the clearance item. So go get yourself a deal, and we won't front you out. We'll be like, hey, what's up? We saw you at that 2023 show.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've always got your back. Also, somebody posted a picture of their toddler on the Facebook group in the Believe and Be Kind shirt, and it was so very cute. It warmed my heart to see that. So thank you all so much to everyone that's buying and wearing and sharing those pics with us. While you're on our website, you can also review the show. We love reviews, especially, you know, 5 stars is always what everybody's shooting for. So shoot for the 5 stars.
If you want to leave a 5-star review, go to sinisterhood.com/review. We make it so easy. And if you're like mad, just turn off the podcast and you're good. That's all. Don't tell anyone.
You can also follow us on socials and check out the episode description. And you'll find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to live show tickets. sinisterhood.com/live shows.
You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Check out clips from Freaky Friday, as well as full Wednesday episodes on our YouTube channel, and exclusive clips and perhaps an exclusive live stream on TikTok. We'll work that out in April. So be sure you're following us both on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast. And if you want a custom video shout out for you by us, go to cameo.com/sinisterhood and order your custom video shout out. It makes a great gift for Mother's Day's coming up, Father's Day, birthday. birthdays, anniversaries. We love to celebrate things like finishing a degree or starting a new job, anything like that. We've done like celebrating divorces, celebrating weddings. So let us use something from our bizarre menagerie to help you celebrate the wonderful things in your life.
we're going to have to get Sir Garthur his own cameo. I feel like his career is just going to take off.
Yeah, he's ready. Well, we already said you find him on his OnlyFans.
That's right.
What's your OnlyFans? I'm sorry, your social media.
Oh, it is it's on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. OnlyFans, TBD.
Yeah, mine is all of it is at Heather versus the World, and I will be managing Sir Garthur's OF for sure. Love it.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Hi, Heather.
Wait, what's that?
Oh, that's a popple.
A popple?
Yeah.
A popple.
His name is Popple.
Popple.
He's a little stuffy.
That's a dragon.
Oh, that's a gargoyle. He said it's a dragon.
Good eye, kid. Good eye.
Yeah.
And the moon?